Australian rules football is the greatest game on earth, but it's not to say it couldn't be better. If only there were two people completely unqualified to talk about it, yet utterly prepared to do so. Two people like that might have some radical ideas. Two people like that might just be the Footy Fixers.
I'm Charlie Clawson, he is Scott Dooley, and we're here to fix football whether you like it or not. And this week, Scott, we are talking about the night of nights when it comes to Aussie rules, the Charles Brownlow Medal. What do you feel? What? Give me your feelings, top of your head, the Brownlow Medal.
Well, it doesn't go long enough. That's my number one complaint. It's too quick. It's far too quick. That's probably my first, and I think that's a pretty commonly held feeling about, you know, a lot of people. If you look at the Twitter reaction, it's always, what, it's over already? Kind of, that kind of is the general gist. What about yourself? Are you a Brownlow?
Well, I feel like we've gotten to a point in AFL media coverage now where everything is a TV event. You know, trade night's a TV event, draft night's a TV event. And the Brownlow was the original boring thing that we've turned into a TV event. I think as a kid, I enjoyed it a lot more, like I was more into it. But as an adult now, I think it's almost like it's like any awards ceremony. The older you get, the more cynical you get. You start saying, well, what do awards really mean? And is this really the best judge of who's the best player going around? Like, I have, since Tony Lockett, when was the last, like, you know, non-midfielder to win, or, you know, I guess Scotty Wind or Jim Steins, when was there not a midfielder to win the Brownlow Medal? I think that's my big complaint, is that it feels like one group of players has a stranglehold on the Brownlow Medal.
Yeah, and I think to your point about, is this the best player? Ablett never won one, Carey never won
Matthews.
One, Lee Matthews never won a Brownlow.
And conversely, Shane Woewodin did. So
Shane Woewodin did and was delisted.
I mean, I do enjoy it. Like, I look, I'm not against awards, I think I like the idea of it, but I wonder if there are ways to make it, if not more equitable, then at least, like, can we have subcategories on the night, you know, for different kind of areas? So almost like the MVP awards, they'll also vote on the most courageous, they'll also vote on whatever else. Can we do that in the Brownlow, you know, and maybe make it like the Logies, where it's like there's a number of different categories and we can have some, like, ones that are voted on by the industry, aka the umpires, and then others that are voted on by the public.
So are you suggesting that we do it in a nominee style?
Oh.
Like, so instead of it, so you just have your top five.
That.
And it's the final award of the night. The
winner.
Yeah,
I didn't actually think about that. So you're saying dispense with the countdown. So basically the votes are tabulated at the end of the year. So the AFL know who the top five are. And so they say these are the nominees.
Yeah,
I think that could be really good.
What if it's the top four and a funny one? And it's something, people are going to accuse this of being mean-spirited, but if you're like, I don't know, it's, you know, it's Nat Fyfe, it's Patrick Dangerfield, it's, let's say Brody Grundy, Christian Petrarca, and Callum Archie, like kind of funny, he's got no hope of winning it. Or is that too
mean-spirited? I don't think it's mean-spirited at all.
Is there a booby prize?
They always love, the commentators always love when it's like the player who's gone the longest without kicking a goal, the most consecutive AFL games without kicking a goal. Like, there's always a statistic like that where it's a player who's done, you know, most games without a final, most games without a goal. So I reckon we slip one of those in there as well, which could sort of be like the...
I'm thinking about the betting, which is obviously the reason the AFL exists. So we've got something to gamble on. And I think is something that we've just got to accept. The only reason football exists is so we have something to gamble on before
That's
the spring
right.
carnival. Mm-hmm. Accept it. So let's lean into it. And therefore you could do like a crazy bet where you get the five. So you've got to have your top four polling players in the Brownlow. And then the AFL, if there's a player that plays 22 matches, or 23 now, without polling a vote, he will be picked at random to round out the five. So it's almost like the supplementary number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so you choose your top four and then the dud. And that's what the he'd dud. Be called. He would be the dud and he'd get a medal, which is maybe a toilet seat that he has to wear around his neck like a loser. You know, and it maybe people could write things on it, like mean things.
Is there a way that we can sort of, to make it more difficult to guess who the dud is, do we have to conspire with media outlets to ensure that the dud is getting media votes during the year so that people, it's not such a surprise when it is like, you know, Christian Petrarca and Callum Archie. It's like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, he did pretty well in the age votes.
Oh.
Because yeah, otherwise there's going to be no suspense. Like you've got your top five nominees for the Brownlow and then you've got the dud. Like we need a way to either... It's either it's a separate award, like he's not there as a serious contender for the Brownlow, or it's a massive conspiracy and we get all the media outlets to just be throwing votes. I don't want to say Callum Archie. I feel it's mean that we've brought him up three times. Give me another average player.
But this is the dud. This is the dud system. Jai Simpkin. Okay,
perfect, Yeah, Petrocelli.
Okay, but what I'm saying is like, this guy, we know he's got no votes, and then he's just chosen at random. There's going to be like 40 people that play every game and don't get a vote. It's pretty hard to get a vote in the Brownlow Medal. So then he is randomly chosen. Maybe that is kind of like the first award is all of the names are put into a barrel. Okay. A la pluck a duck style.
Sorry, Scott. I just thought, you're right. So, the first award is the joke award of the night. So, it's the five duds, and one of them will be like the supreme dud by the end of this. Then, at the end of the night, when we're going for the Brownlow,
this is how we start the Brownlow medal. We start the Brownlow medal by awarding a joke award called the dud.
So, we start the Brownlow medal by the player who's played the most consecutive games without a goal or most consecutive games without a final, whatever it is. Every team can whatever nominate their dud. We pick the top five. That person is awarded the dud. Yep. They go on stage, they get the toilet seat put around their neck. They have to sit back at their chair and spend the rest of the night with the cameras on them and stuff with the toilet seat around their neck. Then.
Yeah. Do we lock it?
Padlock.
So they can't get out?
It's like, padlocked. Of course. Yeah. Padlocked. We don't want them taking it off.
And it's padlocked by last year's dud. Last year's dud padlocks it on in a beautiful ceremony.
But then when we get to the last award of the night, which is the Brownlow itself, there's got to be some kind of element in which Steve and Bradbury style, the dud could potentially win the Brownlow. So it's like, okay, so you've got your four legitimate nominees, right? And so maybe there's one final test and the dud has a chance. It's like the wild card entry.
Yeah, but what happens is when the dud has the lock put on him, he walks to the other side of the stage where he presses a large red button. And this large red button will set off a machine that will be randomly scrolling numbers. And then the number stops. And that is the dud multiplier. Yes. And then whatever votes, should the dud get any votes in the Brownlow medal, it will be multiplied by 60. Right? So he just needs one vote because that becomes 60 votes and he wins the Brownlow medal by the largest margin in the history of the sport. Now,
Isn't that how Shane Warwarden won his Brownlow?
I think it was. I think it was. So they tried it. They trialed it. They had to. I don't know if you've. Have you looked back at that Brownlow medal count? Right before they announce it, someone comes and cuts the toilet seat off it. That would have been a huge scandal at the time. But this can actually further cement your dudness because 60 times zero is zero. Yeah. So to have the option to just get one vote and win the Brownlow medal is then, you know, this is the
I mean, imagine that. So you're the dud, you've already got the toilet seat around your neck.
Mm.
And you go up and you press the big red button. All you need to get is nothing lower than a one. You bring up a zero. They bring out a second toilet seat, a heavier toilet seat, and they put that around your neck.
One of those wooden ones. Yeah,
and they padlock that around your neck. And you have to wear that all preseason until round one the following year.
Oh, that's fun. So you could see them doing the time trial.
With two toilet seats over their neck.
Showing up to the club. Yeah, which also kind of provides a bit of jeopardy because a lot of players get married in the off season. So imagine being married with two toilet seats.
It'd be shocking if he was in the wedding groomsman night. And he's got two toilet seats over his neck.
Two dunny, that would be, and footage of like the 3K time trial with the seats.
So what about entertainment? What about the night itself, the ceremony? Do you feel like they're missing a bit of an opportunity to include some razzle-dazzle? I know we get a lot of highlights packages and we get lots of speeches and stuff like that. Retiring players are honoured and that sort of stuff. But do you think we need maybe some elements from the footy show's grand final review? I would love to see.
I was just about to say.
Five members of the Giants come out dressed like the Spice Girls, doing a bit of lip syncing. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Or do we take it down a slightly, it is our night of nights, a slightly more serious route. A la cricket had a band named Six and Out, which was Richard Cheekwey, Shane Lee, I can't remember, a few New South Wales cricketers. Do we have a similar thing where...
Didn't Tony Woods have a band that was called like... Emergency Warning or something like that. Tony Woods was, I'm pretty sure he used to play in a band with other AFL players. Let me look that up.
Yeah, that does. So, but what if it's a part of your role as the reigning Brownlow medalist is that you have to start a band, which is, let's say it's called Nat Fyfe and the Mathematical Chances. He chooses players and they rehearse three songs throughout the course of the year. To perform. So they open the show, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe they open the show with the Aria single of the year from that year.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, look, I understand the idea of legitimate music, but I think footballers love dressing up in drag.
Oh, you want it to be funny.
Well, they love dressing up in drag and they love lip syncing. And I think that, the one thing that the footy show Grand Final Review taught us is that if there is a girl band out there, you can be guaranteed to get four players or five players from a club dressed up like them, lip syncing to whatever that song is. And then you can also do things like you can bring back the greatest hits. Like you can get a bunch of players doing the Men in Black dance, Gangnam Style, whatever the biggest hits over the last decade have been. Like it's almost like, you could do a decade in music, starring the AFL players, And so they come out. A bit like, who are those female comedians that do all those things in the car where it's like a history of music and they're in the car and they'll do from the Andrew Sisters right through to Queen and stuff like that. But get the players doing it.
Do they do it live or is this a pre-recorded?
Live on stage.
Live on stage. So we open the show. So we hear, ladies and gentlemen, Toyota and the AFL would like to welcome you to the 2022 Brownlow Medal. To give our welcome to country. So we have a welcome to country. Yeah. And then the welcome to country. Thank you very much. Would you please welcome behind the sticks? And then it says BTS. And it's footballers dressed up like BTS.
Yeah, 100%.
Doing a very funny
dignified
dance.
Opening to undignified in a matter of seconds. That's what I think Brownlow needs. And speaking of undignified, do you recall the year... Brendan Favola was doing the red carpet where he was doing the Vox Pop, the red carpet. Bring that back. I say, bring Fev back with a microphone, get him boozed up and get him going around trying to put pressure points on everyone on the red carpet.
So you see Fev as a roaming reporter, not as your host, your hate doing the countdown.
No, not the host. I see him more as on the red carpet, sort of vox pop, voice of the people, trying to put pressure points on people.
Do we make it like a cage where you go in with Brendan?
Thunderdome.
UFC is a huge thing. A Thunderdome style thing, and maybe you can bet on whether or not so it's okay. We're going to cross out the front now. We've got Brent, and this brings people who couldn't get into the Brownlow Medal. You could have it down on the promenade outside Crown Casino there, and you've set up a big cage, and Fev just drinks heavily, and then you send out a player from each team's table. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cross down now. Fev, who you got there? Oh, we got Chad Warner from the Sydney Swans. All right. Who do you think can, do you reckon? And then you go around. What do you reckon, gang? Do you reckon Chad can pin Fev? He's had a couple. And then they get in. They just fight.
What about?
They just have a fight.
That's a great idea. I also think that maybe, you know, sometimes you'll go to like, it's like a corporate event or whatever. And the comedian they've hired is like, they're an insult comic. You know, they just come out and that's their whole shtick is that they're introducing like the CEO of the company and stuff, but it's all kind of like edgy sort of insult comic work. Yeah. How about the host of the Brownlow is Cane Corns, and Cane Corns just critiques like every single round. It's like, well, Richmond were disappointing. They've basically blown their season in this round. Yeah, that's right. Dusty got injured. Did his ribs? They're gone from this point onwards. Yeah. And so everything's a fucking downer. And I just think it kind of, it just gives it like, we need to make it feel a bit more modern. And people today are cynical and stuff. They don't want Bruce McAvaney. They want someone who's going to bring a bit of edge.
They want edge.
If I can't think of a bigger contrarian than Cane Corns. So I reckon that, you know, every round they're playing the highlights and Cane's just like tearing strips off people. Oh, you know, here's when Tex Walker failed to go in for that contest. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe Cane chooses
the highlights,
the footage, and rather than it's people taking short steps to contests or you know faking hands.
Everyone's always blowing their season as far as Cane's concerned. That this is the moment they blew their season.
That's right. He would be great with like the Trump campaign because no matter what happens, like you always get like. Biden was literally being sworn in and you'd get an email from Don Jr. saying, Biden's on the ropes. We got him where we want him, you know. I could see Cane Corns doing that. Do we finish the event? I feel like one thing that I do know is that we want to see a villain get his comeuppance. Does the Brownlow medalist then he's instead of a bit of champagne to toast with, he's given a pie to smush into Kane's face.
Right, I understand. So you're saying
on behalf of all the players, this one's for you, Sydney Stack, or whoever he's been potting.
Oh, that's actually a good point because the Brownlow is also where they announce Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year. Is that right? Mark of the Year? And obviously, there's some controversy around Mark of the Year because that is one of the ones that is. Publicly voted. I think the way you overcome that issue is that the player has to recreate the mark on stage. So, you know, like in Liam Ryan's case where he took that mark of a Max Gorn in the goal square, they get Max on stage. Doesn't matter if it's grand final week. Max has to get up, even though the sports science guys are probably saying, well, there's a significant chance of injury here. Bad luck. And so Max Gorn in his tuxedo has to back across the stage while Liam Ryan takes a hanger and someone has to kick a ball to him. And if he can complete to a fairly accurate degree the same mark, then they win Mark of the Year.
I love that. Firstly, I absolutely love that. I would change it slightly. I'd have all three people have to recreate the mark. I would also introduce compulsory voting for Mark of the Year for all Australians, and you'd have it much like an election day where you'd take over schools and scout halls and whatever, and you'd have to go in and you'd have to vote for Goal and Mark of the Year, and then they'd collate the results and you'd get and this also shoehorns nicely into say that's on the Saturday. Yeah. You would have, I imagine there'd be wall-to-wall coverage like a federal election. Every channel would be seeing the results as they're coming in. And then don't forget to watch the Brownlow Medal because one of these players has to recreate.
Mark of the Year on stage in full tuxedo.
And if he doesn't, in full tuxedo.
Are we being too conservative, Scott? I just had a thought then.
I feel so. I feel like we are.
What if we, rather than hosting the grand final, the Brownlow in grand final week, traditionally on the Monday before the grand final, what if we do the Brownlow halfway through the year? And we just base it off mid-year form. We're just like, you know what, Dusty's having a pretty good season.
Right.
We reckon he's going to get it. And so we just award the Brownlow halfway through the year, like we award it in June.
And then I do like that. Would the dud have to wear the toilet seat while playing for the rest of the season?
To be honest, I'd forgotten about the dud. But yes, I mean, of course, there's no way around it.
There's certain traditions.
It's tradition. So the dud, yes, the dud would have to play out the rest of the season with a toilet seat on his neck. But what I like about that is that it doesn't matter if you get injured in the second half of the year. You've got yourself a Brownlow. It makes it more exciting because it's like, can this player maintain their form for the rest of the year now? A lot of pressure on Dusty. He's had a great, he's had a great first 10 rounds, but can he maintain this pace?
So you're saying round 10.
Award the Brownlow.
Medal. Award the Brownlow medal. Have the full ceremony, the funny dances. Welcome to country, funny dances. Here's the dud. Yeah. And then mark of the year recreated. Oh, Max Gorn's out for the next 6 weeks because Liam Ryan's given him a concussion because he slipped in his nice dress shoes.
Yeah, and then award the Brownlow. And then hopefully that player doesn't get injured for the rest of the year.
And then, and also, you know, Chad Warner's out for the rest of the year because Feb broke his wrist out on the promenade at Grand Casino in the cage.
And meanwhile, you've got Kane Corns just sniping from the sidelines. Scott, I think we've solved it. Footy Fixers have done it again. The Brownlow medal, that is how you improve it. We've got some feedback from the listeners. And if you want to send us your feedback, you can do that at Two Guys, One Cup AFL on Instagram and Twitter. This is from at Trey Rules. He says, it should be AFL jury duty. A jury of 12 randomly chosen Australians should be paid to watch every game for a round and vote 3-2-1 for each game. A different jury for every round. They get tickets to watch any matches near them live. What do you think of that? Throw it to the people. Back to the people.
As you know, I'm a long, long time advocate of forcing people to watch football.
Well, I think so in the last episode you talked about conscription when it came to being a supporter. So
I think I did conscription and serious psychological damage for the good
preaching
of the game.
Preaching to the converted.
And so I do really like that. And again, I know that, you know, we are kind of in the content business. I think that's a great television show.
Definitely. That's a reality show right there. I mean, do you think
is there love between the jurors? I mean, can you imagine falling in love at Optus Stadium?
Okay, so he's saying a jury of 12 randomly chosen Australians should be paid to watch every game and for a round and vote 3-2-1 for each game. So are they saying that 12 people are watching every game, so 9 games –
that round.
And then awarding 3-2-1, so then you just tally up who gets the most votes. Is that how it works?
For that round, and then there's another
12 for the next round.
You know, another set of letters goes out and says, congratulations, you've been selected. Which games would you like to see? Foxtel's being installed in your house.
What I like about that is it seems really efficient. It seems like a really efficient, uncomplicated way to hand out an award. Jimmy,
are you suggesting there'd be jury tampering?
Oh,
that Dusty's people could get to juror number 13, jump number 10.
I'm not suggesting that.
Juror 10.
You're making me think. I reckon that's definitely a possibility. I think intimidation of witnesses, jury tampering. I think it's all on the cards there.
It's all on the table.
Jimmy Possum 1 says, I believe mark of the year and goal of the year should count as 10 plus votes towards your Brownlow tally. So this is similar to what you were saying about the dud having the chance to get 60 times his votes to potentially win the Brownlow.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about that? So goal of the year, vote of the year is worth 10 votes? Seems too much to me.
It seems high, but 6, 2 best on grounds?
Yeah, okay. I'll give you 6. Wayne Zoll 64 says 3 votes has to scull a crownie. It makes the winner's speech more memorable.
I do like that. I think
so. It's like a drinking. It becomes a drinking game.
It becomes a drinking game. Yeah, yeah. I think that's good because not since Adam Cooney have we really had a
knockabout larrikin.
Maybe Yeah, maybe had a couple on the way. Didn't think he was going to win, then had to get on the waters at about round 13.
Well, wasn't it the story about Dusty Martin that after the grand final, he left his car in the MCG car park for like 6 months or something?
Yeah. They'd been in pre-season training before he picked it up. Like he'd never bothered to walk up from punt row.
H. Kelly 33 says, replace one of the umpire's votes each round with that of an independent expert, but good luck finding an independent. Well, how would you find, what would qualify as an independent person? Is that someone who doesn't follow AFL at all? Because it's a bit difficult for them to be, if they don't understand what they're watching, how can they adjudicate? Although I do like that kind of, like that prospect of.
Why is that a problem?
Go to a different country where they don't even speak English and say, watch this game and hand out three votes. And it's like, well, I like the umpire, so he gets three.
What's a vote? What's a vote? I don't understand. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. And then you could almost have Eurovision style voting where you find, oh God, don't the Estonians love Joe Danaher? He gets a lot of votes when we get an Estonian to vote. I think it's fun.
I think it's really good.
You can have the international.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Yeah. I think we should also include that with the dud voting as well. I think that the independent voters should also cast a vote on the dud. This one I love. This is from Juji Fruity, at Juji Fruity. Nat Fyfe digs up metal ore and then they forge the Brownlow live on stage during the event. I reckon that's amazing. And it doesn't have to be just Nat Fyfe. It can be any Western Australian. They arrive on stage at the start of the night when the players are doing their review, when they're lip syncing to BTS, whatever it is. We have a Western Australian footballer in like full blacksmith apron, gloves, goggles, just hammering away at an anvil with and actually forging the Brownlow on the spot.
And that's a very... It's a lovely ball to have in the air, just constantly when Kane's going, oh, well, if he spent less time on Tinder, he probably would have kicked that goal. And you're hearing bang, bang,
ominous.
In the background. And it would also be very ominous. It would also be what an honour for that Westers. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome this year's blacksmith, Shannon Hearn.
Yeah.
And everyone would stand up. Oh. Shannon, would you like to say a few words? Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for choosing me to be a vote. Maybe we could tack it onto the goal and mark of the year vote. That would be like a...
Yeah, and you can also get legends, like Western Australian legends. So you can go, you know, Carl Langford is here to forge the Brownlow, you know.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And you can compare them throughout the, you know, if you have a look at Langford's, it's really flat compared to Dean Kemp. Yeah. Dean Kemp was a lot, he preferred a thicker brown.
Brett Heddy's was clearly the best.
Oh, well, I mean, Brett Heddy was one of the most underrated blacksmiths in the history of the game.
I'm just ticking that box there. We have mentioned Western Australia and Western Australian footballers. That should please a certain part of the demographic, Scott. I don't need to tell you that it's a very sensitive group of listeners out there, isn't there? Very, very sensitive group of listeners.
Exactly. Why don't you raise a beer and enjoy it? Sorry, now I'm just teasing their accents.
At TBrassa7 says... My only complaint is the coverage is too short. It should be a full day where each round is read out on the hour. So a 20...
Now this is a person...
A 22-hour broadcast? What do you think?
I think anything that involves... Any entertainment that involves the words, we've entered the grueling seventh hour... is the kind of thing that we want. And, you know, think about, you've also got to bear in mind with all the balls we've got in the air, think about how drunk Fev would be.
22 hours, mate, he could do some damage. He'll have.
He'll have
Juddy in the pressure point hole in no time.
Well, they'll be on a boat cruise at some stage as well. You know, there's a whole bunch of fun stuff that can happen.
Our last bit of feedback is from at Zeniston, who has worked in a plug for his book within his response. So, you know, all right, I'm happy to plug. Let me just click on this, make sure it's not some kind of white supremacist. I'm just reading this.
And also, can you mention my book, Mein Kampf 2? It picks up, it's a dramatic reimagining.
Well, his website, because he's put a link to his website, he lists himself as a comedian, author, artist, and awesome guy. So Zeniston says, accounting votes is entertaining enough. What more do you want? How about a footballer's talent show? That'd be funny, which is kind of what we're suggesting with the with the review.
Exactly what we're suggesting.
And then he does a great little tangent shift to, I like funny. I even wrote a book about how to give up alcohol without going to meetings. Zenitin.com as a comedy. All right, there you go. You got your plug. And thank you to everyone who listens to the show and get in touch, sending your feedback in. That's Two Guys, One Cup AFL on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to send us a message, we normally put the topics out on a Monday and we record on a Wednesday. So you've got a couple days to get your opinions into us. But that's it. We've solved the Brownlow. The Footy Fixers have done it again. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Scott Dooley, and that's fixed.